Welcome everyone out tonight to the University Heights Church of Christ.
I invite you all to open your Bibles as we study God's Word a little bit and try to bring ourselves closer to Him and closer to the example that Jesus gives us. I want to especially speak to the people like me, maybe college students, maybe a little bit older, or they may not have grown up in the church. I know for me, a lot of the experiences that I've had in the last 5 years since I was a Christian have changed my life completely. I know that how I lived before I was a Christian still kind of changes the way I live my life now. It's a lot harder for those that didn't grow up in a sound home, where the teachings were sound and the things that we did for entertainment or just did to pass time, the things back then were a lot different than they should have been. But I want to speak to people like me to help them live their lives as Christians in a better way. Of course, the things that we speak of tonight are not geared only towards people like that. These will help all people. Anybody that wants to follow God and please Him in all things. I'm going to be speaking about keeping our minds pure in a filthy world. The topic I've chosen is particularly necessary for the young people, those who may be engaged in activities and surrounded by the people or surrounded by other people that can be a detriment to the thoughts and actions that we have now. The Bible clearly teaches that sin goes beyond behavior. Sinful behavior always starts with sinful thinking in the mind. Someone may think that as long as his thoughts are not acted out, then he has not sinned. Or that sins of the mind are not as bad as sins that are acted out. This is just not true. Lust itself is sinful, as is greed, covetousness, as we see in the 10th commandment, pride, and hatred. In fact, thoughts and fantasies can be just as sinful, if not more sinful, than sinful deeds. If you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, we're going to read a few verses out of Matthew here and then get into the breadth of the lesson. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 21, says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council. And whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hellfire." You see here that the murder is what has been condemned, but it's just as bad to be angry at a brother as murder. If you would turn over verse 27 also, it says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." You'd also turn to chapter 15 of Matthew. Matthew chapter 15. Starting in verse 18, Jesus says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders and adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." So we see that all these awful things that Jesus speaks of, they all begin in the heart, which is actually the mind. One more. We'll turn to chapter 23 of Matthew also. Chapter 23, verse 25. Jesus speaking also says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and the dish, that the outside of them may be clean also." If you want to progress in sanctification, we need to start by controlling your thought life. Controlling your thoughts is extremely important. Your thoughts are the front lines of the battle for holiness. And remember that evil deeds are the offspring of evil thoughts. So tonight, I'm going to speak of three ways that we sin with our minds, and then go into the five ways that we're going to deal with the evil things that go on in our minds. So number one, how do we sin with our minds? First way is sins of remembering. Remembering or cherishing or mentally reliving past sins is one way that we can sin with our mind. Sin has a way of impressing itself on our memory. When you bring back and think about past sins, you truly repeat the sin. This is one reason why so many deal with pornography in an awful way. It's so destructive because once you implant an image into your brain, it's easy to bring it back up and it's difficult to forget it. It's not just images either. We can have sinful or explicit dialogue and stories. They're all the same. Often our imaginations actually fill in more explicitly than a picture or words would. This is one reason that we need to stay away from such material. If it never gets into our brain, then we'll never remember it. Number two are sins of scheming or plotting. A lot of times people can simply plan sinful actions. Well, this too is a sin. If you would turn with me to Psalm 36. And we'll see an example of this. Psalm 36. Psalm 36, 1 through 4 says, "An oracle within my heart concerning the transgressions of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flatters himself in his own eyes, and when he finds out his iniquity and when he hates. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit, and he has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness in his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good, and he does not abhor evil." So we see here, laying in your bed and devising wickedness or planning wickedness is just as sinful as following through with that wickedness. Go to a couple of Proverbs also. Proverbs 15. This is 14 up here, but it's actually 15. Proverbs 15, verse 26 says, "The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are present, or are pleasant." Also the 24th chapter of Proverbs. Eight through nine says, "He who plots to do evil will be called a schemer. The devising of foolishness is sin, and the scoffer is an abomination to men." So we see here that those who plot evil actions reveal the wickedness that's filling their hearts. Even if the plans are never acted out, God condemns the sinful thoughts. Then number three, we have sins of imagining. We'll go back to Matthew chapter 5 and repeat what we read earlier. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 28 says, "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Fantasizing about sinful activity is the last one we have, sins of imagining. Fantasizing about sinful activity. This is what Jesus referred to here in Matthew chapter 5. Even if you don't plan on acting out that thought, if you imagine it, you've sinned and you are guilty. And a matter of fact, imagination, like we said before, is usually far worse than that which we'd actually do. Think of, you hear maybe a group of guys as a good-looking woman walks by and the comments that they make or the things that they're thinking. A lot of times those things are awful, and we need to make sure that we abstain from those things. So now, how do we keep our thoughts under control? We've got five ways that we can do that. And number one is to confess and forsake those known sins. If you would turn to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. Verse 7 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." If you're guilty of mental sins, you need to repent of it and ask for forgiveness. We don't need to downplay the sinfulness of evil thoughts. Remember that God knows your thoughts, and God hates this sin as much as any other. Once again, we'll see an example of this in Psalm 139. Turn over there with me. We'll see that every thought that we have, God knows. Start in verse 1, it says, "Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether." Next way that we can control our thoughts is to refuse to entertain sinful thoughts. Who controls what we think about, what you think about, what I think about? Only that person can control their thoughts. Don't let yourself dwell on sinful images or ideas. Don't read books or look at images or listen to music that generates sinful thoughts, or that tempt you that tempt you to indulge in them. Let's turn over to Job chapter 31. Job chapter 31. Verse 1 says, "I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look up, or should I look upon a young woman?" We need to make sure that we ask ourselves these questions whenever something entices us to sin, even if it's only in our brains. We need to ask God and ask ourselves, is what we're doing right? And if that answer is no, then we need to abstain from it. We need to stay away from things that tempt us in this way. We need to guard our thoughts. This requires discernment or the ability to evaluate something before giving or withholding approval. For example, there's a lot of bad stuff on the internet. Most of it's very easily accessible. And if we can't handle the temptation, then we need to stay away from it. Number three is to focus on the right kind of thoughts. If you would turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." You need to soak your mind with true, valuable, honorable, and pure information. We need to replace the bad with the good. A lot of sources that we can get to. Number one is the Bible. This is the one thing that you can always turn to and know for sure that you're not sinning by engaging in it. Other things, some classic novels, maybe a good magazine or some clean TV shows. Unfortunately, replacing these things does not get rid of them. They're always there. We just need to make sure that they're not in our lives. Number four is feed on the Word. Feed on God's Word. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Verse 11, it says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." The word strengthens and insulates your mind. It also reveals your sin and shows you the right way to go. I can't tell you how many times that I've seen in the Bible something that I've been doing incorrectly. If I wouldn't have been there that day to read exactly what I was reading that day, I may still be engaging in that sin. We've all been in that situation where someone may bring up a situation that we are in that is sinful. They're all here to really show you in the Bible what is good and what to replace those bad things with. So continuing to feed on the Word each and every day will keep us from sinning with our minds. And finally, the last one is to get accountable. If you find that you have difficulty with any of this all by yourself, you need to find someone that you can check in with, maybe occasionally or on a regular basis, who will help you and keep your mind on the right track. A lot of times, all someone really needs to stop committing a sin is for someone to know what they've been doing and recognizing when those things are happening. I know there's been a lot of times in my life that I may have been doing something that I thought nobody knew about. And then once somebody told me that they knew I was doing that, I stopped doing it. That may not be the best way to come to a knowledge of sin and keeping away from evil. But if that's the way that it happens, then that's a wonderful thing. Keep yourself accountable and be accountable to other people. You can also teach others the way that you may be having issues with. And the more you teach, the more that you'll learn yourself. that those things are bad. So in conclusion tonight, there is one thing that we always need to remember, is that sin always starts in the mind. You are in control of what you think about. You need to determine the things, the right things to think about. Don't fill your mind with trash. And when you do commit mental sins, repent of them and determine not to let it happen again. So don't sin with your mind, and you will not sin outwardly. This sermon was really designed for all people, especially those who desire to please God. If you're not a Christian tonight, then we pray that you will become one now. Without the vital steps of becoming a Christian, you will never be pleasing to God. You need to believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You need to confess that belief before others. You need to repent of your sins, turning away from them, and you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Once you've done that, you need to live a life worthy of that calling, at doing all things to please Him. If you've done these things already, but after reviewing the subject this evening, realizing that your thoughts are not what they need to be, won't you please change your mind, repent, and ask for forgiveness so that you can be in a right relationship with God once again. If there are any who need to respond to the gospel this evening, please come forward now. Together we stand and sing.